Welcome to the Human and Technology Podcast. This podcast is for anyone who develops, distributes, or uses technology. For all those who always have the feeling that technology overwhelms or dominates them. For everyone who wants to know how to deal with technology in everyday life. For anyone who wants to understand what technology does to us and how we can get our lives back. This podcast is for those who want to make technology sexy. All the product developers, designers, UX, UI professionals, product managers, CTOs, and CEOs. And it is for you. My name is Dr. Peter Ryska. My friends call me Dr. Peter. I am your host, and I am happy that you are here. Make the car the star again. That was one of the statements I heard during the presentations held at the Car HMI 2023. Always in June, a major part of the automotive HMI community meets in Berlin. The company We Connect makes the Car HMI, offers the Car HMI, which is one of the biggest events on automotive HMIs that exist on the globe. About 300 experts from automotive OEMs, car makers, suppliers, services companies, a couple of people from research companies, from universities, all join in to talk about automotive HMIs, about car HMIs, to hear presentations and to exchange, to network. And for me, as I said, one of the most exciting and most valuable events in that area. This year, it was co-located with the Interior Sensing Conference. For me, this makes absolute sense because the interior sensing technologies, everything what's happening there, that is somehow overlapping with the car HMI issue. So the entire user experience in cars will in future be driven by interior sensing. So the exchange between these two communities is definitely something absolutely valuable. On the car HMI, we had 20 presentations. Roughly 20 presentations. I haven't counted them, but yeah, it was about 20. Sometimes in parallel sessions, and OEMs, suppliers, service companies presented their products, their thoughts, their ideas, their processes, so all the things that you could discuss on an event like this. It was a bit heavy, and so it was almost 12 hours on the first day and more than 10 hours on the second day. But it was worth it. Tons of valuable input, insights, knowledge presented. I got some of my views corrected. I got my personal knowledge enriched. So definitely worth all the time and the energy spent. In addition, 20 workshops in different formats were held. And roughly 20 exhibitors showed their products, services, companies in the lunch break area. And there were exhibitors not only of the car HMI, but also on the Interior Sensing Conference. And again, in that context, it made absolute sense to combine these two meetings because a lot of what was shown there on the interior sensing part stimulated my HMI thinking, my UX user-oriented thinking. So it's always worth visiting it. It was the 11th or the 12th edition of that conference. I have attended most of them, and usually I have an active part there. I moderated two of the events in the past. I had various workshops, and this year I had a World Cafe. And then this World Cafe, I discussed various issues around the user experience in automated driving. This will be a separate episode of the Human Technology Podcast when I will talk about these things that I discussed in my World Cafe. So I have identified so far about six focus points of the meeting. First is markets and strategies. The the opening keynote was from one of these data companies. And some of the things they present are, of questionable value. Let's put it that way. I mean, we all know that the number of displays in cars, that the amount of glass that we have in cars, that the number of speech recognitions in the automotive market, that all that is growing one way or the other. On the other hand, a couple of good insights were given, a couple of nice things I had been a bit surprised about what this presenter was talking about. My question always is, how do they get these exact numbers? They can tell you exactly what the market in 2035 will look like. They don't have a crystal ball on their table. I don't have one, and they don't have one. I have a few hints on how they may get their data. But anyway, it's always nice to have them, particularly as a kickoff of these conferences, and to get some of the insights. A lot was about technologies. So technology, HMI technologies, 3D things here, renderers there, displays, head-up displays, projectors, all different things. And in the beginning, so after the first, 6-7 presentations, I had the feeling, hey, is HMI all about technology today? Or did I miss something? And I mean, later on, there were a couple of presentations that were more on HMI design, on human factors issues, on graphics, and all these things that I believe are car HMI. But without the technologies, nothing will be possible. No experience, no user experience will be created without the appropriate technology. So, yeah, again, good thing that we had this. Tools and processes, how do we develop HMIs, how do we do this? And the impression I take out of the car HMI is that there is still quite some fragmentation in the process chains. The tools, they are not really plugging into each other's, which may be one of the biggest issues that we have to solve in our industry in the near future. One thing surprised me that it came up on that big amount, on that on a large scale, was gamification. So the gaming industry is leaking into the automotive industry. And so, yes, I will talk in a few minutes about the different aspects that gamification has here. Automation, of course, was a bigger issue. How do we handle that? And as I said, my World Cafe was on the different levels of automation, the levels 2 to 5, the SAE levels, plus that I added to one called level 6, asking what is that, what is beyond level 5. So that was one focus point. And then of course HMI design, a little less than I had expected it, but particularly on the second day, there were a few presentations that were handling that. I will compile a detailed report. I'm already in progress with this. I've started the work analyzing all the data, analyzing the slides that I have. It will take a little longer than before, because it's, as I said, it was a very heavy meeting, a lot of information. So give me a few days until I have it done. If you want to have a copy, send me a message either on LinkedIn or send me an email. You may use podcast@beyond-hmi.de, Which is the preferred email, but you can also use any other email you will find from me on the internet. You get your free copy of this report. I'm compiling that, first of all, to sort out my own thoughts, but also to give it to the people that have not been able to attend the meeting for whatever reason. And I'll send it to those that have been there to refresh their memories and, yeah, to help them digest all the information that we have got there, that were presented, that was presented to us. All right, for this episode of the Human Technology Podcast, a couple of issues, a couple of focus points that... yeah, got stuck with me. A short overview on then. Some of that I will pick up in future episodes for sure, and get deeper into this. But the three things I want to talk about today is the challenges of our industry, gamification, and HMI design. So those are the three focus points that I would like to present here. I will not talk about the technologies parts, although it took it was a large focus. It took a lot of time, a lot of the presentation time, many of the presentations. But at the end of the day, talking about, hey, and then there is a 3D projector, and then there's a 2D projector, and it has an image that is virtually so and so many meters from the car away, may not be the most exciting thing for my podcast. So it will all be in the report with all the details so that you will get the information if you order the report. All right, let's get into it. The biggest challenges of the automotive industry. First thing is keep up pace with the new players in the automotive market. We're having the new Chinese companies there. That was in the very beginning when the electrification of the car started. The main message was it will be much, much easier to build a car compared to a combustion engine car. Less parts, less complexity, easier to compile, easier to develop, easier to produce. And so there will be new players. And this is happening at the moment. So we are having... first of all, out of China, but we also have a bigger car company out of Vietnam. There are more new car companies out there, and they have a pretty good pace. They don't have a history. They don't carry a heritage. They don't have a backpack with all the things that happened in the past. They start from scratch and they get right into it, and they're putting up. They're having a very, very high speed. Some of them are bankrupt now. I just read an article that many of these car companies are having payment problems, paying problems. Let's wait and see how this will work out at the end. But definitely we have these new players, and there's not only Tesla, there are others out there that set new cornerstones in the automotive industry. Another problem of the automotive industry is the lack of understanding for the developments in the consumer market. And this first of all means the smartphone market, all the apps, all the software-based things that are going on, but also all the hardware. And there is, the automotive industry is looking at this and not really knowing on how to solve it, not really knowing how to tackle that, and first of all, not knowing how to integrate all the speed, the focus, the consumer orientation these companies have. Younger users, they're a challenge. They grow up with voice recognition, with touch screens, and so they're totally used to that, and they expect that in any context of their life. So not only on the smartphone, not only in the smart home devices, not only on their PCs, but also in their cars. And This is, I mean, we can talk about the pros and cons of touchscreens, of all these huge real estate we put glass on and touch capabilities on. But that's a fact, and we have to face this. We have shortened development cycles. When I started getting into the development of infotainment systems in 2005, 2004, we had development times of 36 months. That 3 years, that was the normal time if you develop a system for an OEM. Today we are at roughly the half, 18 months, a year and a half, and that will get even shorter in the next time. This is due to more and more pre-configured components that we can integrate. This is in general better tools, less coding, more visual implementation. But this is also pushed by the consumer market, by the smartphone market. So users expect the latest developments in their cars much earlier. One open question is, which technologies support the building of a brand? What shall I have in the car to strengthen my own brand? And from my point of view, this can be the game changer in the future, because all the engine technology and the gearbox technology, not beer box, no, gearbox technology, all that is not in future cars. So technologies will make the differentiator of the future. So if you want to be different from the rest of the bunch, technologies in the car, digital technologies, they may be the game changer. Higher levels of automation will change the user experience in a car. And with that, the architecture, the design, the functionality, the flexibility of interiors. And this is not only on the digital side, but also on the physical, the analog side. So seats will play different roles in the future. Center consoles will play a different role in the future if we have higher levels of automation. We see a constant change in user behavior and readiness to pay for different services. And this is not a constant thing. This is not a constant development. This swings into this direction, into that direction, and then it becomes different here and there. We don't really know in the automotive industry what today's users are ready to pay for. And it's even worse for future users. We need to learn this, and we need to adapt to this, and we need to assure ourselves that we are doing the right things to make money. Closely connected to that, what are the features and what are the functions future users want to have? Make it like a smartphone. Yeah, that's always a statement that I hear at my clients and in the industry. But there are definitely smartphone features we will not want to have on dashboards. But what are the ones we want, and how do we show them? How do we make them accessible? One of the statements and one of the presentations was, screens are the new horsepower. So the number, the size, the technology of screens, all the 3D technologies, the interaction with screens, the personalization of screens, all this is defining vehicle experience. So old guys like me, we grew up with the idea, hey, this car has 250 horsepower. It is a real, real fast car. That's real cool. And I think future users will have a stronger focus on screen, real estate they have in cars, on the content they have, on the connectivity. So there is a paradigm shift. Plus, I mean, I have an emotional connection to my Harley-Davidson engine. That's a 45 degrees V2 engine. And I have an emotional connection to that. And I had it to my 6-cylinder BMW engine in the past. But I cannot imagine to have an emotional connection to an electric engine. So there will be a change on in the way we see cars and we use cars in the future. Mobility is and will be even more a connected experience. So we will have different devices where automotive HMIs run on. So I have maybe something on my desktop PC and I pre-configure something and I book something and I check something and then I leave my apartment and go to my car, and then I have it on the smartphone making final adaptations to whatever I want to do. And then I have it in the car finally. This is what I call liquid HMIs, meaning that the traditional automotive HMIs leak out of the dashboards into other devices. And this is this connected experience that we discussed at the car HMIs. HMIs become more and more important, both for building the brand, but also for the user experience. Very often, the hardware is a limiting factor. The automotive industry is comparably conservative, has comparably long development cycles. So what you see in a brand new car on the electronics side, on the electronics hardware side, is at least two or three generations old. I mean, the chip industry, the electronics hardware industry, they have an enormous speed. They are moving forward. And the time that we use to develop a car to make it a very safe and very well usable device, they have three or four generations of chips out there. And so we always have not the latest technology in latest cars. And as I already said it, the HMI development chains, the tool chains are not stringent. They are fragmented, particularly if we talk about ecosystems, HMI ecosystems, interaction ecosystems, as I already mentioned in the liquid HMI. So I have an HMI on the smartphone. I have one on the PC. I have one on the wall box. I have one on the car. And if we want to create a unique and overarching user experience, then we need to develop all these together, and we need to have appropriate tool chains to do this. All right, so far on the challenges that I talked about, that I registered at the car HMI. The second point was gamification, and that surprised me a bit. There were quite a few presentations on that. I had not seen it that prominent, but it seems like it is coming up. And there were three variants of gamification. What does it mean? The three different variants. The first one is on, let's say, the technical, the technological, and the development side. So game developers, they learned very well on programming 3D worlds, entire environments, complete worlds in 3D. And they know how to program these, how to use limited resources in hardware, in software, and computing power. And game engines, basically the software, the underlying software that drive the entire 3D world, is to be found in more and more vehicles. So game developers switch to the automotive industry. This is a trend I have seen already 10 years ago when I was at an electronics company. There we had a department that was a former game developing company for all the maps and the 3D things. And that is a growing trend that we have this in cars. So the one part of the gamification is game engines, game developers, gaming, 3D worlds are leaking into automotive dashboards. We have HMI and functionality in the systems that are enriched with ideas out of the gaming industries. So for example, if you drive properly, if you have an eco-friendly lifestyle, you can collect eco points, right? And you can be rewarded for this. the rewarding systems. And if you have a good driving behavior, or if you have a bad driving behavior, you get a few points gone from your point account. Yeah, and you can have challenges. You can compare yourself with other drivers of the same brand or the same car. Now, all these are gaming things that you can integrate into today's car HMIs. And we had this when I was at Harman many, many, many years ago, that we had this eco-friendliness, and that we said, okay, you can get for a ride between 1 and 5 green leaves, and you can collect them, and you get a feedback on how eco-friendly your driving style is. Yeah, but also in the same direction, personalization of HMIs. So artificial intelligence generated background images. That was an application that was shown. You were telling the system through the voice recognition, create me a background image that shows the sunset at Santa Monica Beach. And then you get it. And you get access to this when you have enough eco points or enough nice driving behavior points. Yeah, then you get this. Or you get a new interior light. Well, we can say, okay, you have 5 lights already, 5 colors of light already, and then you get an additional color, a 6th color into that. I mean, all those are the rewarding systems where you get gamification into a car. And the third way of using gamification in cars is using the vehicle infrastructure for gaming. So the steering wheel, the paddles, the air outlets, the seats, the vibrations maybe in the seats, the interior lights, and then you can play. Of course, not while driving, but if you sit at a charging station for maybe 20 minutes to charge up your car, you can play a quick racing game. Everything is shown on the head-up display. And then you sit in your own car and you can use your steering wheel, but you can race on virtual tracks with that and just spend quite some time in this racing game. This is called then immersive gaming. Immersive means you get into it, you get part of it, you have the feeling that you're really there, that you have. It is diving into a different world, which shows the chances we have, but also the dangers. My feeling is that probably some of the users will be too immersed, will be too deeply involved in that, and reproduce the racing driving style, the race driving style, after the charging on real roads. But all that is under planning. So those are the things that we see in gamification at the moment. At the end, gamification of vehicle HMIs is a lot more than just copying games from the PC or smartphone area into cars. The question came up, why now? Why are we having this trend now? First of all, it is we have sufficient computing power on board. As I said, it's not the latest stuff that we have there, but it is sufficient to do this. We also have the connectivity. If you want to race against others, or if you want to compare your eco points with other drivers of the same car. Now, all this is available today and we can use all this. Second point is we have more and more centralized data processing in vehicles. I remember the times when bigger cars had between 15 and 20 different computing boxes distributed somewhere in the car. All came from different suppliers. They were not talking well enough with each other. So huge amount of problems. And Tesla was the very first company that had one central computing unit in the car. And if you have an electronics architecture like this, it gets very easy to collect all the data you need in the car and to distribute all the data again in the car. So if you have the head-up display and the steering wheel and the paddles and the connectivity in one box, if all that is connected in one box, then it's much easier to create this fully immersive gaming experience. And the third point is that we have cultural changes. Gaming used to be a bit nerdy, only for young kids, teenagers, sitting in their rooms with closed curtains and playing days and days and days. But it is turning more and more into a mainstream phenomenon. So the average age of all gamers today is 37 and not 13 or 17 anymore, as it probably was a few years ago. So it is mainstream, and this is another reason why we are having it right now. All right, a bit about users and HMI design. One of the users said, okay, what do we need to have a good automotive HMI? What are the requirements? And it needs to show the correct information in the correct point in time, in the correct location, the correct way. This is one of the quality measures of HMI. It needs to react quickly and correct. It needs to give me the right feedback. It shall not be complex and overloaded. It shall not look like this, and it shall not be it. So just reducing visual complexity and adding cognitive complexity is not a solution. But at the very end of the day, simplicity makes it. We need to satisfy the ideas, the wishes, the dreams of very different persons. Driving is for everyone. Everyone can drive. Old ones, young ones, technology-oriented people, technology-critical people. Everybody can drive. And so we need to pick up all of them with, in the optimal point, one solution so that they feel reflected in this. Automotive HMIs need to be compatible with other technologies. I see this more from a technological point of view, less from an HMI point of view, from a usability, user experience point of view. In cars, we have the unique situation that interacting with the HMIs is a secondary task. Primary task is driving. And the use of a smartphone outside a car, then the interaction with the HMI is the primary task, is the main task. It's the only thing you do. At least it should be like this. And this is what it's designed for. So replicating the smartphone paradigms one-to-one into a car without adapting them, that will not lead to an appropriate solution. And a modern automotive HMI needs to be adapted and flexible, whatever this means. But yes, I fully agree. We need this flexibility. And of course, it needs to be adapted to the context of driving. One presenter, and this is one of the new views I got into automotive HMI, he talked about three levels of behavior in the context of human and driver, of human and car, driver, car and driver. So you talked about the expected user behavior. So what is the user expecting? And this very often, if we start to develop a system, we as developers, it's often not clear what users expect, particularly if we talk about innovative features, about new things that have not been out there yet. So, and developers often expect ideal user behavior. Yeah, so we have this on one side, the expected user behavior. Then we have the specified user behavior. This is more or less the expected user behavior, but it is moderated by legal, by technological limits, by the responsibilities that we have. Yeah, so it needs to be somehow reasonable what we do in this one. And so then we have a different solution. It's not expected, it's specified. And then at the very end, we have the real user behavior. That is what's really happening out there on the road. So we have different environments. You know, one of the sensors breaks down or doesn't work in rain and in snow. Or you don't have a cell phone network available. Or you have a bad road condition. Yeah, so all this, again, moderates the behavior and then leads to different solutions that we need. So if you have the example lane change, the expected behavior is the driver looks at the display before he or she makes a lane change, and if everything is okay, the lane change is done. The specified behavior is people don't look at their dashboards if they want to make a lane change. They look into the rearview mirror. Realizing that, okay, we need a sound. We need to have a sound to support the visual advice that we have in the cluster instrument or in the head-up display. And in reality, it's like experienced drivers don't need any sounds. They don't need any advice. They can make lane changes in a safe way, and for maybe even in a safer way than the machine by themselves. And passengers find all this constant beeping and the tones that coming in there totally irritating. So you can see how these different ways of behaving, of expectations that are in there, are influencing the solution that you create. One presenter gave a very lively and cool presentation on what do jazz music and HMI design have in common. For me, cool thing. Yeah, I'm not a jazz music fan, but I can totally follow the thoughts of that. So you said creativity and innovation. That's what both have, jazz music and HMI design. Now you have to be creative and you have to be innovative in both areas. Collaboration and adaption also. User-centric. I mean, music shall be user-centric. It shall be loved by the people that listen to it. You shall create emotions in your users and please them with music. And it's very much the same with HMI design. Iteration and experimentation. Doing things over and over again. And if it doesn't work, try it again in a different way. And maybe the second solutions or the fifth or the tenth solution will work, will be the best one. Authenticity and emotional connection. Those are the things that jazz music and HMI design have in common. So, one of the map providers had a presentation on the design of navigation maps, and the design is far better than it was, but there's still room for improvement. And the big piece of art here is that the map, the digital map on the screen, and the existing environment you are driving in shall be overlapping, mentally, cognitively overlapping, so that it is simple to get an orientation. It's very intuitive to orient yourself into this. And so you have to create reference points. Saying, okay, I have this traffic light here. There's a traffic light on the map, so I have to make a right here. Or parks or whatever you can see, or POIs, points of interest. Now, some of them are visible, some of them are not. I mean, the non-visible ones are not useful, but gas stations, for example, they're usually visible. And so you can say, okay, after the next gas station, I have to make a right. You see the gas station, you see the road behind it. And so this is creating reference points. And the one of the arts of creating a map, or the biggest point in map design, is to make it easy and intuitive to get the real world and the map overlapping as perfect as possible by using reference points. And at the end, it is more important to create focus instead of just reducing maps. So you have to put a hierarchy on information. First things first, most important things, most obvious. Then obey physical laws wherever it makes sense. So you may have see-through buildings that you can see the continuous road that you have. Use color and contrast and use movements to steer the attention of your users. All right, so that was my quick summary of the Car HMI 2023 in Berlin. We had started last Sunday, so I'm recording this one here on June 21. And it started last Sunday and then Monday and Tuesday. I will be there next year. It is a valuable meeting to attend. It is always good to be there. Good to meet all the interesting companies, all the interesting people. So it's definitely worth doing this. And again, if you want to have a copy of the report, then send me a message and you will receive it. That's it for today. Thank you for spending time with me. I hope you were able to take something with you and do something for yourself that will be forever. For an ongoing exchange, you will find me on LinkedIn and on my websites, peter-rusker.com and beyond-hmi.de. Write me an email on the podcast at beyond-hmi.de. Tune in next time. Take care and stay healthy.